everybody, and welcome back to the Android App Addicts Podcast, the show where we talk about Android apps and whatever else we feel like talking about. My name is Mark. I'm happy to be here with you, and joining me are your friends and mine, Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin, and Eric, still working on it, Ardini. Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Good. The manager would be fine.
I know. I'm just refusing it. I need to come up with something punchy of my own. It's fully my ego.
Then we need to have a meetup.
Okay. For now, the Midwesterner, maybe.
Yeah, the executive. I like that one. You're at the executive suite tonight.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I forgot to tell you, Mark, when I was in Chicago, he craftily just, at one point in time, just asked me, okay, just stand back for a second. And he went up to the counter and he talked the guy into basically giving him an executive floor key card. We weren't on the executive floor. So that was a nice trip to Chicago.
Nice.
The executive floor is definitely worth the money at this hotel, because there is nothing for free, including like $15 a day internet, unless you're on the executive floor.
So before we go too much farther, I want to apologize for the last episode. I told you during the show that there was all kinds of terrible lag, and it was all my fault. It turned out it was a bad Wi-Fi card on one of my laptops that was just flooding my network. But also, during the show, there was a minor glitch with my recording that I had to stop it and restart it. And I thought I had pieced it together really well, but I didn't. And I didn't bother to tell Dore that. So when he was editing the show, my audio suddenly jumped and got out of whack. And he's wondering why that happened. I'm why that happened. All my fault. Totally my fault, people.
We would have blamed the new guy anyway, whether it was your fault or not.
No. First off, Mark, I hope you had a good week. Hope everything's going good.
I can't complain. Well, I could, but nobody likes a whiner.
Two, the buck stops here. I'm the one that post-produced the show. I'm the one that should have called it. Thankfully, I literally was caught up on my podcast, so when I published it, 5 minutes later, I downloaded it, I listened to it, and then 20-something minutes into it, I said, So then I got home, adjusted, re-upload. So if anyone was listening to that show and a tumor started forming in your head because of the over-talking, re-download it. I promise you it will come out.
I've done that before, too. You find a mistake, and then you fix it. But the problem is 1,500 people have already downloaded it the second it came out, and you can't get those back.
Yeah. Right. And I don't want to put out a 401.5 episode telling people to re-download episode 4. And I don't want to send out an email, and I don't want to send out a tweet, because it almost seems like spam. Like I'm trying to falsely pump my numbers up by putting out bet and then having you re-download it.
Oh yeah. That's a great technique. Yeah, I never thought about that strategy.
No, it's not a great technique. It's a horrible technique.
Yeah. That's all on me, and I apologize. New guy screwed up, but Dor being the consummate professional that he is, he's taking the blame for it.
It's Sean's fault.
Yeah, I agree.
Awesome. So, Eric, you are not at home for those watching the video. And those not watching the video, you're also not at home. Care to tell us what's going on?
I am podcasting live from the 23rd floor of the Hilton in downtown Chicago, overlooking the magnificent mile in Lake Michigan. And it was actually a huge marathon. I think it may still actually be going on. I'm not sure. People are swimming and biking and running all over the place here.
Sounds like a healthy place.
A lot longer time in a cab to get to the food for me.
What about yourself, Dor? What's going on in your life?
Trying to stay sane. Last week, on recording day, my youngest son got suspended from school. Half a day Friday. Monday we had off. Tuesday we went back in, so he was really only suspended a half a day. I went off like a rocket. Because basically what they're telling me is, he can come home all year now with green days saying he's good, yet he can fail because the end of the day status has nothing to do with his grade or the type of work he's doing. It's just if he's disruptive or violent to other students.
Well, whatever you do, don't encourage him to build a clock.
Apparently not. Yeah. But here's why everybody is too sensitive. The same thing happened to Steve Wozniak. When he was, I think it was 15 years old, he spent the night in the detention center kind of thing because he got called to the office. He thought he was being called to the office because he once again won the math contest for the school or whatever. Instead, there were cops there, and he found out the principal took his clock, ran into the middle of the football field, and yanked wires thinking he was defusing a bomb.
Wow, I never heard that story.
Yeah, so everyone just needs to relax. Mistakes have happened since the beginning of time. Let's just, as if you would look up Donna Summer's name in the phone book, it would say, simmer down. Simmer down now. So let's just simmer down.
Just an example of how the world has changed in the last, 30 years. When I was in high school, a friend of mine had gone dove hunting before school because we were hicks and that's what you did. So he got up early in the morning, went hunting, and came back, and he had his rifles in the back of the car. So he stepped out of the truck and he was pulling his coveralls off. And in the process, his shotgun fell out of the car onto the parking lot. And the principal was doing parking lot duty and ran over to him. And instead of arresting him, he said, "That's a nice looking gun, son." He picked it up, looked at it, looked down the barrel of it, appreciated it, and then put it back in the rack for him. So that's what happened in Hick, Texas, 40 years ago. Today, a kid brings a clock that he made himself, and he goes to jail in handcuffs over it. We're too sensitive, everybody. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree. We're sensitive.
Okay.
Everybody's offended. I'm a little bit of offended by you even bringing up that story.
Well,
I'm offended that you got offended.
I'm offended that...
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Well, really quick before we get started, the one thing that I'm not offended by are the people who have decided to go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and become patronistas, maybe, of our here podcast. Now, the current patrons, Chuck Litchfield, who I met at Northwest Linux Fest, hell of a guy. Eric, I'm going to need you to say his name. Jay.
Nguyen Knight.
Nguyen Knight. Thank you very
much.
Jay. Ultra cool. Simon. And then we still have Bobby, Mike, and Christian Captain Zero. Thank you guys a hell of a lot. And I encourage people, go to youtube.com/DoorToDoorGeek and youtube.com/podnuts. Take a look at episode 402 video. We're trying to up the ante a little bit to see if we've become a better video presentation. Look at it. Tell us what you think. Is it worth the time? Is it worth the effort? And the best way to tell us if it's worth it is to become a Patreon. Just saying.
I think this is probably the first podcast in 3 months that I haven't had a background. So my end of it is already lower. But the quality of the video itself is much better.
Dude, your quality compared to previous weeks is off the charts.
Yeah. That's probably because my laptop camera is better than my desktop camera. My built-in TrueVision HD is probably better than my 5-year-old Logitech manual thing.
I have the TrueVision HD too, and it's not a great camera. So you and I have the same laptop, except yours is good and mine sucks. I don't know how that worked.
Oh, I disagree. I had to format the hard drive earlier today to even come to the podcast today.
Okay,
because
that makes me feel better.
It had this Windows 10 thing that it would boot up, it would boot up sometimes, go to the desktop, and I could not do anything. I couldn't hit the start menu. I couldn't open any programs. I'd get DLL errors. So I think maybe the hard drive is going bad. So I just formatted it, put Windows 8 back on it, and just enough. I put just the things I needed to make this podcast, and that's all we have installed.
Time to format, reinstall, doo-da. Yeah, we all sing that song.
And also drive from the hotel last night to this hotel and go to a meeting earlier. It's been crazy. We're here, though.
Well, see, me being a Linux guy, I was just going to ask you, do you need to defrag, Eric?
I haven't defragged in a while. I might.
Oh, well, there you go.
I probably should.
Pop an SSD in that thing, and you'll get a whole new life out of it.
Yes, it's coming soon, I think.
Yeah, I put SSDs in everything I buy. It's just amazing the difference it makes. It takes an okay laptop and makes it an amazing laptop.
I thought your HP wasn't amazing.
No, it didn't start out as okay. That's the problem.
Oh.
Gotcha. Can I start out by bringing an app? Is that okay? Is it okay for the host to bring an app?
Stop talking about Windows and PCs for a while.
I don't want to jinx the show by having the host bring an app. This is both an Android app and a Windows app and a portable app, Windows Portable, which is one of my favorite things. Nothing new. If you're a power user, you've probably used text expanders in your life. And I have recently started using a text expander on my machine at work just because I found I'm always typing the same phrases over and over. And I was looking for something that was cross-platform and, you know, I could get started for free. And I found Phrase Express, all one word, P-H-R-A-S-E, Express. And it's available on Android. And as I said, on Windows, I'm not sure about iOS. There is a Mac version. So, but one of the neat things about it is it can sync to a Dropbox folder. And so when, as you create phrases and stuff, it's available on all of your platforms. So on the Android phone, it comes as a keyboard, which I would never do because of my beloved swipe, but also as an assistive technology. So as you're typing, a little thing pops up and you can tap and enter a phrase. I haven't had a whole lot of time playing with it on the Android phone.
You got to tell me what a phrase expander is.
Oh, a text expander? Oh, okay.
It expands phrases.
A text expander is like a macro you have an email signature, you know, Eric Ardini, the executive, yada, yada, yada. You could have it say anytime you type the word SIG, SIG, it'll fill that in there. Or if you have, you know, the same phrase that you always type over and over again in an email correspondence or a business, you know, a call center, that kind of thing, you can cut those down to one or two characters. And the thing about Phrase Express, and I'm just using the free version, by the way, the paid version has much better features, is it watches while you type. And as you're typing something that you've typed before, it pops up a little box here and says, would you like to make this a macro? Why, yes. As a matter of fact, I would. You can cut your typing, particularly if you do, you know, redundant sort of typing. You can cut, three paragraphs down to two characters.
So it's like, right. Please find the attached.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've typed like that all the time. Right. Is that built into Word, or is this something I need to do to add to Word?
No, it's for the privacy nuts, panic, because it watches your keyboard input all the time, no matter what app you're in. Yes.
What?
It is a keylogger. So danger, Will Robinson. But that means it works across all apps. So there's no plugins. There's nothing you have to do. It's just there. It's running. And so I, like I said, I even have the portable app on my machine at work because they won't let me install software. And so I just launch that thing and it's running and it's there.
So you're putting a keylogger in the USB port to run a keylogger while you're working at work.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now here's my question, Mark. I know I saw this software before. Do you have to use their keyboard, or can you still use your keyboard?
No, see, that's on the Android version, that's where the assistive technology comes in. So it pops up now. You're right. Prior to that, you had to use their keyboard, and I'm not sure when that change took place. But the current version, you can either use their keyboard, or it's like a magnifying glass or a text-to-speech sort of thing. It falls under the category of assistive technology, and so it hooks into the OS that same way. And so anytime you open your keyboard, you get for just like 3 seconds a little button that pops up, and you tap that button, and you can either enter or create a phrase based on it. So it's excellent for repetitive tasks. If you find yourself either in your job or in your regular life typing the same thing over and over again, and the desktop version of it, you can have it pop in a variable. So like I'm going to say this two paragraphs, but here and here I want you to prompt me for what to put there. So it'll pop up a dialog box and say, what do you want in this blank? And you type it in. And then it'll go to the next, pop up another dialog box, what do you want in this blank? And you type that in. And so you can nest things. You can put phrases inside of phrases. It's pretty powerful for no cost.
Right. Well, the other question I have is, so does the database, I'm going to say, of everything you do, is that why... When you say cross-platform, can you sync that across
all your platforms? So that's the thing that you can sync to Dropbox. So you can store your database in Dropbox, and anything that has access to your Dropbox can just do it. Or you can store it anywhere else you want. I mean, you can tell it where to go, but it has built right into the OS Dropbox and Google Drive, where it'll just make the folder structure on its own. All you have to do is just point it at it and say, I want it to go to Dropbox.
Yeah, see, that right there to me is the beautiful part of it, because I've used text expanders before, but I didn't like the fact that it was almost work to sync up things between them, and I never found anything on mobile that would let me sync. Because, like, Eric, the common thing is, like, especially if you work in support, if you constantly say, please reboot your computer and try again, you can literally just have it be P exclamation point, and then when you hit space, it automatically just magically changes what you typed. Nice. This is the kind of thing that can insanely increase productivity if you put a little bit of time into it today.
So I have all of mine starting with a special character, say an exclamation point. So everything I do is exclamation point PV, and it'll pop up whatever I had said PV was. You don't have to do that. It can be anything. But for my own mental organization, I've tried to start them all with the same character so that I know, all right, so if I'm typing no additional follow-up required, okay to close ticket, it's a, okay, that's exclamation point FU, follow-up.
oh, yeah.
And it pops that in there.
Wow. How did I miss all this?
Well, this is the kind of thing, unless you look over your shoulder, you're never going to know what's there kind of thing. But once you know this exists, you're going to become, I don't want to say it's going to become a crutch, but you're going to learn, oh yeah, I need this. Because on Windows computer, I've used Auto Hotkey for years. And on Linux, I've used, I believe it's called Auto Key for years to do some of this functionality. But on my Android, I hated the idea of using somebody else's keyboard, because before, this keyboard did not have swipe.
So that's the beauty of this one. So you can share the same database between your Mac, your Windows machine, your Linux machine, and your Android device. I assume Linux. I didn't even actually try it on my Linux machine because I have other tools like you already set to do that. But that was the killer feature for me, was a single database shared across someplace that I own, and everything can access it. Yeah, well, if you consider Dropbox being something I own.
Right. And the full name is Auto Text, all one word, Phrase Express, all one word, by Bartels Media GmbH. Yep.
Bartels Media GmbH.
Subscribe to the newsletter. Yeah.
The one I have is version 1.50F. F, I'm assuming, for free.
I was going to say for follow up.
So that's it. I've blown my charge. That's all I got. Dor, what do you have for us tonight?
Okay, first app I'm going to bring here. It's a game, but it's the kind of game when I first saw it, I was just mentally hooked on it because I thought it just looked really good. It's called Door Kickers by Kill House Games. T for teen. $4.99 to buy. No in-app purchases. Does have only like 1,000 installs. It's fairly newer. If you look at the video for this game, it is, I can't even think of what it's like, but I know I've seen a couple games that have this same mechanic. Overhead, your viewpoint is restricted, and as you move around, you see more of your surroundings. And basically what you have to do is you have to get to the end of the level, the other side of the screen, shooting and killing the people that are trying to stop you. This says T for teen. I will say this is not, to me, at all a young teen game. This is definitely a older teen game. But the mechanics and how this game works, I thought, were really spot on. I can see taking this same exact engine and making different types of games, let's say, like maybe less violent ones, for instance.
Yeah, when the name of the company is Kill House Games, that kind of tells you right there.
This is a really neat way to. It does seem like I've seen another game like this too, but I really like how you do the controls on this.
Yeah, it's like complete top down, top of your head is what you see. It's like squadron based. You can only see your narrow, like maybe 90-degree view. No, sub-90-degree view of what's in front of you. So as you go around corners, you see the outlines of the walls, but you have no idea what's around the wall. So when you see surprise, either somebody with a gun or, nothing. But you always have to be on your toes kind of thing. Really good. This game, though, was too powerful for my JXD tablet. About 2 minutes into every time I was playing, the tablet just decided to turn off. I'm guessing it was overheating.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Do a swipe to swipe to drag and drag a line to where you want your person to go then, huh?
Yeah, you have to. This is all. It almost lends itself to mouse type controls, where you have to drag where you want your people to go, and then you can like turn your head with the other thumb to keep people looking in the right direction.
So it's definitely not a one-handed game.
No, absolutely not.
All right. Mr. Executive, have you got something for us this evening?
Yes, I do. I've got a game that was suggested to us in the Google Plus, and I don't remember who to give the credit to. This game is called Avoid. Maybe you've seen it, and maybe you can remember who told us about it. It's by Noodlecake Studios. They make a lot of games. Basically, this is a fun puzzle-type game where you need to stay away from gears. And so there's like four spinning gears spinning around on the screen, and there's little gold gems that you need to get to. But these gears, you don't want to get hit by them because they'll cut your head off and cut your legs off and things. It's just an easy kind of fun game. It's a little extra violent than it needs to be, but it just adds a little bit to it where you could be a square and not get your head chopped off, and instead you're a dude. I got quite a few, so I'm not going to go into real depth with them. I got some tanks to clear out today, I think.
Yeah, I've seen this exact type of game many times in the past. It's almost like Quicks, the old arcade game. Your basic goal is to avoid things moving across the screen. Of course, as the levels increase, they move faster and get bigger. Just make it harder.
Yep. Aptly named Avoid.
All right.
We'll go back and forth.
Well, let me go ahead and read an email since we have a bumper crop of email lately. And this is from Greg, who says, according to your helpful spreadsheet, you discussed Jet Audio Basic back on episode 99. Jet Audio Music Player Plus was an Amazon freebie back on April 25, 2014. It has a few nice features like speeding up the audio, but I noticed that every time I played a podcast, it was sending data over my Wi-Fi or mobile network connection. I don't know what data they're sending, but it's inexcusable. Even if they're only learning the device ID, time, and network address of when I use the app, that's none of their business. I've uninstalled the app. I respect Mark's opinions on many things, but on this issue, I realize we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Not really sure what that last part means, but...
I think because you're all in. Mark, you don't really seem to care who has what data of yours.
Well, you know, I will say that I do agree with you, Greg, that... there's no reason for a music player app to be sending data. It should be receiving data and only sending, you know, checksums and that sort of thing. So I agree with you that it's inexcusable, and I would be fine with you uninstalling it, or as I often do, use an Android firewall to block access to it. So I don't disagree with you on this one. Dor, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there are always reasons for applications to do things that are going to make some people mad, but there's also sometimes things that make no sense. Why, when you're speeding something up, would anything say, let me see, now is a good time to communicate with the internet? No, I don't understand that, especially because if you've been around a while in Android and sped up things for a while, what you'll notice is speeding a podcast up literally takes more processor cycles than playing it at normal speed. So it's stupid. And it sounds like, I don't know, something that was either misbehaving or misprogrammed, or I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I can't. If you're streaming something, right, that's obvious. But if you're playing a local file, I can't think of a valid reason to be doing that. Now, I understand all apps phone home at some point, or most apps phone home at some point, to check your licensing and all that sort of stuff. But to be doing it continually on an ongoing basis while playing something, I agree with you, Greg. That's suspicious behavior.
Yeah, all the time. I see maybe it going back to some server that's keeping track of plays so that it can get a better ranking on some kind of top 10 list or something, maybe, but not constantly.
But I also think those sort of things should be entirely opt-in. And I know that they're not, and I'm totally out of step with the way things are, but developers should do a better job of letting people know what their apps are doing and allowing you to opt in or out. Or rather, you shouldn't have to opt out. You should have to opt in. All right, Mr. Dor, you're next.
Okay, the one I'm going to bring here... it's one of those, I think, nerdy type things that I'm going to probably keep installed for at least a little while. It's called, I'm going to have to be very careful pronouncing this one, Instadict. Instadict. This is like a instant dictionary. All you got to do is basically copy a word into your clipboard, and then when you shake your device, it tells you the definition of something.
Oh, that's neat.
So you don't. So you don't have to share it out. You don't have to launch it to something else. You don't have to do anything extra work. You just put it in the clipboard, shake your phone. I like that because it, to me, seems like less steps to getting definitions because I need definitions a lot.
Steve Cherubino liked this app.
Possibly.
I thought you made up definitions. I didn't think you needed to look them up, Dor. I thought you were definitions.
I do, but sometimes when someone says something to me, like on a web page or an email, I really need to try to understand what the hell they're trying to say.
All right.
Now, when I talk, I just make definitions up.
It's, you know, it's good to be the king, I guess, in those situations where you just make stuff up. This word means what I say it means. I like that.
Yep. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Makes up the word too, also.
Yeah. You do it. We all do it. It's good to be the king.
Eric, you're up next.
All right.
Tank away.
I would love to if I could find my... It's hard working off a 13-inch laptop here. All right. This is a game, and I hope I got the entire link in there. Let me know if that one works for you. This is called Daytona Rush. Nope. Did it work?
Nope.
No?
Don't worry. Just keep talking.
All right. Daytona Rush by Invictus Games. Invictus Games Limited. This is a top-down endless runner NASCAR racing game, is the way I'm going to put it. But I really love the graphics on it. It plays well on my Nexus. And I just like the way the cars move and change lanes. Basically, you got three lanes. And you've got a... Oh, and what I also like is this is in landscape. Or in portrait mode, not landscape, this game. So you really have a nice view of the track ahead. And then every now and then you have to swing down for pits and get gas. But you just never stop. It's just like an endless runner. You just run over to the inside lane for a little while, get some gas, get back up and keep driving. But you'll run out of gas if you don't draft correctly, and there's little small things you need to learn along the way to make the game go better for you. I thought it was a good-looking, real fun game.
So there's no objective to the game? Just keep going in circles?
Just keep going. Turn left, baby.
Okay, but I mean, isn't that kind of counterintuitive to NASCAR? It ends. Your goal is to get high finish. I mean...
Yeah, nope. If it does end, then I didn't reach it.
Right. Well, and I'll say it isn't only NASCAR. It does look like I'm seeing some indie-like action as well. Also, the pits and the gas look exactly like F-Zero on the NES, where you have the three lanes, and then when there's special parts of the track, you basically just go over to the fourth lane to quote-unquote power up. So I actually do like that.
And then those little lines that come off the cars, we know you're drafting them too, little white smoke lines kind of.
Ah, gotcha. This is reminiscent of a lot of older games, especially on a computer, because you could very easily just use the left right arrow keys to avoid cars. I'm gonna download this, Eric. I actually am. I'm not a racing guy at all, but this honestly looks cool, and I'm gonna download it just so I can let my kids have a go at it and see what they think. But this is a good find.
It's just little subtle things, like the way the car wiggles into the lane, you know, just kind of does a little bit of a fishtail. They had a lot of attention to detail in this one.
Very cool.
All right, so I will move on now and do both a listener email and an app, because this Aaron sends us an app called Drive Mode. It says, "Hey guys, made by Drive Mode Inc. This app could be useful for some people out there, more likely those who aren't necessarily heavy users. Think parents or light users. The app gives you a nice clean interface to quickly access navigation, phone contacts, and text messaging while driving, and will even read your messages to you. When installed, there is an option to have the app auto-launch when it senses that you're driving or connects to your car's Bluetooth system. Being a heavy user, I found that I can deal with most of these features with my G-Watch and find it redundant, but I'm sure there is an audience for this app. Keep up the great work, and welcome Stevie 2.0, i.e. Mark. You're a great addition to the show, and I'm glad you're keeping tangents going. Also, for Mark, I suggest you give the one-on-one mode in Pro Field Golf a shot. I use it to quickly build up good to open new courses, get power-ups, and upgrade the equipment. Cheers, guys. Aaron, Ontario, Canada."
Very cool. If there's any Moto X owners out there, this app does do some of what that phone feature does with the driving features by reading apps and reading who's calling and doing that kind of thing. I can't use this app, even if I wanted to, because I'm not allowed to touch my phone when I drive back and forth to work because I carpool and my wife swears every time I touch the phone, we're going to die. So I can't use it. It is a good idea. It is a needed application for a lot of people out there. I will say that. I don't like how, by default, it wants to keep this chunk of the left of your screen taken up. You have to opt. You have to turn on the drive mode where it senses you're driving and then pop up. But it's a very simplified interface. You have one icon on the screen, then you can swipe up or down to different icons. By default, it's navigation, music, and phone, I believe. And you can add icons to that. So if you want podcasts or if you want something else, you can just do it right there. Great idea for an application. Pretty good delivery on an application, but it's just an application that I just can't take advantage of.
I drove a lot this week, and I need an application that tilts my phone away from the sun. But I think that's going to be more of a probably an Arduino, and a couple servos and motors or something.
So where do you keep your phone when you're driving, Eric? I'm curious.
Right on the dash.
On the dash. Yeah. Okay. So,
well, see, to me, you don't need a device. All you need is a matte screen protector, and you're fine.
Maybe. It smudges, too, sometimes, is what it is. I don't know. I just need to adjust my clamp that holds it there or whatever.
See, depending on which vehicle I'm in, it's either on the seat, in the passenger seat, or if there's somebody sitting in the passenger seat, in the little storage box below the glove box, or if I'm using the navigation, I'll prop it up in a cup holder or something like that. But it never would even, when you said that, it was actually kind of a stunning thought to me. It would never even occur to me to put my phone on the dashboard. That
seems like up there. It's not laying up there. It's in a mount.
It's on a mount. Okay.
It's facing me at all times.
Gotcha.
Sometimes I need it tilted a little bit more. Smaller dashboard.
Where do you keep your phone? I'm just doing a survey for,
okay, well,
the census.
First of all, I'll say it's not illegal in this state. I know I've found out there's a couple states you cannot have a windshield mounted mount, which I think is stupid. But let's not throw there. Mine is mounted to the windshield, so my phone is literally exactly beneath my rearview mirror.
Okay.
Oh.
And without sounding ridiculous, I literally have over 200 plus hours of voluntary driver education type classes. I'm a obsessively defensive driver who likes to speed. So I'm very confident in my ability to know where to put the phone to not be a hindrance to me seeing obstacles coming out places. And when my wife's not in the car, I touch the phone incessantly. I mean, Voxer, podcast, text messages, whatever. I'm fine.
You know? Yeah.
Because it's all about separation. You have to separate dangers.
Being a tall guy, mounting things on the windshield. See, I already have to duck to look under most rearview mirrors. So if I'm at a stoplight, for example, if I pull up to a stoplight, I can't see the stoplight over the roof of most cars, including my truck. I have to duck my head down to be able to look. And the rearview mirror blocks even more. So I'm constantly looking around the mirror. So to put another device under there would be even worse. So I have a view issue. It's tall people problems. But also I do use my phone while I'm driving, but I don't look at it. I have an app called Agent, I'm sure you guys have brought, I probably learned about it from you, that when I'm in, when I connect to my car Bluetooth, it goes into drive mode. When text messages come in, it reads them to me, and I can speak the responses back. And then I play podcast, right? And I have that laying beside me. And I just, you know, when I need to fast forward through an 8-minute Leo Laporte commercial, I just tap that button a couple of times. But it's down to my, and then navigation is the only time, and I'll keep it propped up there for that. But for me, it just, phones are sort of out of sight, out of mind when driving. It never even occurs to me, except when I'm using the map to be able to look at it. And when I am using the map, it's off to one side where I'm having to, you know, something I decide to do, not something I do while I'm doing something else.
Yeah, mine's on it's called a RAM mount. I got it from Liam Tidwell, and it's the suction cup. You might appreciate this, Mark. The suction cup is stuck to the windshield, and then it comes back, and then it basically goes perpendicular with the front of the dashboard. So it's just like another radio buttons
right
on my dash. But if you were to look forward, and I always think the day I get pulled over and they say that this is illegal or something, I'm going to have them sit in my car. If you look forward, all of the mounting and everything is lower than the windshield wipers anyway. So it's not like I'm losing any of my vision to the front of the any of the road. I'm not losing to any of this mounting stuff.
All right. That's so you have a fairly vertical windshield then? Because if because if your windshield reaches far forward, or is it just like a really long arm on the suction cup?
It's a really long arm, yeah.
Okay.
It bends all kinds of ways.
Actually, it sounds like something I'd be interested in. Has it got a charger built in?
No, but I've got a charger running. I got the charger cord plugged in down in the cigarette lighter, and then I've got it pressed into the creases of the car so that just a 3-inch part is sticking out that plugs right into the bottom.
If I could glue a Qi charger onto the back of that, I think I might have a mount I could use.
You could. Check out RAM mounts. They're well made.
All right. You may have sold me on that. Just for me, for as long as I've had a phone, it's just been something that I throw, you know, in the glove box. Or most cars now have some little storage cavity under the radio. That's where I put my phone when I drive. And the idea of having it as an instrument that I use while driving is just not something that really ever occurred to me.
There's a lot of really cheap, really good magnet. If you don't need the cheap part. There's a lot of really good cheap magnet vent mounts now, too. And Bo.dot in the chat room says that you put those in your vent and turn the air on, it keeps your phone cool, too.
Yeah. My old Droid X2, that's what I had to do because it literally got, first off, it's a jet black phone. It would get hot just because it was, you know, not a good processor. It was the first, I believe, one of the first dual core processors. So, yes, I literally stuck it right against the AC vent.
Let's see, where are we? That was an email. It's your turn, Dor.
Okay, this next app I'm going to bring is fad-like. It's hip to have one of these apps, I'm going to say. This is one of those apps that's trying to be a assistant to you. I believe it's called Gluru. Gluru. I'm sticking with that, yeah. By the same company named Gluru, E for everyone, completely free, no in-app purchases. Of course, you're going to have to give this access to a lot of stuff on your phone. It wants to monitor your phone, your text messages, your email, your search habits, and other things. It wants to try to be your personal assistant. And also, it's access to your calendar. One of the things this tries to do is it tries to keep you abreast of meetings, appointments, and things coming up. I genuinely like the idea of that, but it requires you to be an organized person to take advantage of such things. And I'm learning how to spell organization. Sooner or later, I think I might be organized, but not quite yet.
I've just surrendered my higher brain functions to Google. Google Now does all of that for me, and I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah, I was thinking Google Now, and there's also another launcher that I started using that's similar. Would you consider this a launcher, or is this like something that lays on top of your launcher then?
No, this is not a launcher. It just tries to take place of like your Google Now screen on the side. It wants you to use this to launch the search for applications. It wants you to use this to interface with appointments. It wants to be like a side application. I'll just say this is a really interesting app. I like seeing these kinds of things, but I don't know how popular it's going to be. I don't know how far it's going to go. It does appear to be pretty new because it's only 80 total reviews and only between 1,000 and 5,000 downloads.
The latest update was just this week, though, so it's actively in development.
Yeah, very active.
Yes. It's a tough crowd to be in, but I wish them luck. One review does say that it's the best cloud storage searcher they found.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I liked. We've brought more than a couple things that combine all your cloud stuff to make it easier to find the files you're looking for, spreadsheets and Word documents. This does that as well. I like the idea of that, but it's really hard to compete with Google when you're talking about personal assistant kind of thing. I don't know what it's going to take to beat them. I don't know if it's possible to beat them, but these guys are trying.
I think I don't understand why there's competition in that. It makes more sense to me to make complementary apps than competing apps. But I don't know. People always seem to want to pursue the same niche when it seems to make more sense to carve out your own niche.
Maybe the big guys won't let you.
Could be.
Maybe they've seen too many jet League movies and they think there can only be one.
I mean, you've got Google Now. I'm just totally avoiding a bad pun. Google Now, Cortana, and Siri. Those are the big three by the big three mobile systems. You can't be as good as them to win. You have to be significantly better than they are to win, because I have to disable something native to my device and add something else. It's a really hard road to hoe.
Yeah, and I think the majority of people who are going to use this app are people with active disdain for Cortana or for Siri or for Google, right, and they just want to use something else just so they can say, I'm using something else.
There's no shortage of ennui on the internet. So, yeah, they could tap into billions of people.
Exactly.
All right, Mr. Executive, what's your next item in your tank?
All right, I'm going to bring this one real quick just because this is the Android App Addict show. And our friend, who actually was a friend of the show, he's been a guest host before, Urban Droid, who had the app called Sleep is Android. But they came out with this thing called Digital Detox Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Android App Addicts and Digital Detox Challenge, you'd think those two are not going to get along. So I thought, well, you know, I'll just try it. Have you tried this yet, Dor?
Hell no. Why would I try this?
All right. Just so you know, this basically has a way to make you stay away from your device. And mm-hmm. if you don't do it, it charges you money to get back on your device. Like, if you can't wait 4 hours to use your device, you can pay a buck, and then it'll let you use it. I couldn't do it. I am truly an addict. I just wanted to bring that out there, because I'm sure this app is actually winning awards all over the place. I can't remember his name, but, man, those guys are so smart over there. And he's really into the social engineering kind of thing, and this app's going to get somewhere, I think, for people who don't have a podcast who may be Android App Addicts.
Was this Jeff, the guy we had on the show? Yeah. I ain't putting this on my phone, Jeff. Jeff, I love you dearly, and I thank you for all the support that you've given us. I ain't putting this on my phone. Period. If I want to detox, if you will, I'll put my phone down. I don't want to.
Yeah, but some people don't have it's the classic addict line, Dor. I can quit anytime I want. I just don't want to.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying without this, I need medication, okay? Because quite literally, I'm the guy that takes caffeine in order to be able to communicate with other people and in order to be able to get stuff done. Because if I don't do caffeine, I'm a hot, slobbery, stinking mess. having this thing it's like there are kids in school who need rubber bands around their wrist. There are kids that need little pieces of Velcro stuck to their chair because they have that sensory necessity for things. Having this thing in my hand literally calms me down. Being able to, at the drop of a dime, launch Voxer and chat with somebody who I consider to be a friend, it literally calms my psyche down immensely. So I don't want to detox. There's no reason to detox because there's no tox involved.
Yeah. I have always been the master of my technology rather than the slave of it. I put my phone down. I frequently do put it down, turn it off. You know, we have rules at our house. We don't answer the phone when we're having dinner, for example. That includes out at a restaurant. This is not something I need, but my fear is that the people who need it most would be the least likely to use it. The people who are going to use it are the ones who don't really need it.
Right. And I will wholeheartedly admit, I am the guy who, if I lived in New York City, could have already died from crossing the street while I look at the phone. I have no problem admitting that. I am not perfect. I am flawed. And that could have been me.
Yeah, so, Peter, I totally think your app would be cool, but I just can't do it, man.
So, Dor, have you ever gotten in the car to go to work and realized, oh, I left my phone in the house?
Yes.
Okay. And
have you ever went to work without it, or did you turn around and be late and go back?
No, I just went. I just went because if I don't notice it as I'm walking out the door, I will not notice it till I'm at work, kind of thing. But because of podcast, it's literally before I even start the car.
Yeah.
And I cannot. If you want me to get to work and be prepared to just jump down someone's throat and scream at them, fine, now listen to the radio. But I cannot stomach listening to the radio. It is so tacky, so bad. Just, I can't.
Yeah, the last time I got in my car and got more than, you know, a block away from the house before I realized I didn't have my phone was before I became a podcast / audiobook listener. Because like you, I have that queued up as the garage door is going up. I've got my audiobook playing. And so it's impossible for me to forget my phone for that very reason. But often when I get to work or where I'm going, often the only thing I do with my phone is listen to podcasts. I'm not a big tweeter. I'm not a big Facebooker. I'm not always checking things. You know, it's a work device as well. So people make calls and send me texts for work. But most of the time, my device is a Rio MP3 player. That's primarily what I use it for.
Wow, man.
A Diamond Rio, I believe,
yes,
is what
yes. it is. Going way back.
Oh, yeah.
Does it take a AA battery or AAA battery?
A little watch battery, actually. It's great. You know those things you put in your car remote? Huh. Okay, so that was the two of you. So now it's time for another email. Let's go with one a little more recent here. Jeff, nope. Yes, here it is. Jeff wants us to know about 1 month of games. Says, hey, Steven. I'm guessing that's you, Dor. It's been a while. Hope you guys are doing good still enjoy doing the show. Last we spoke, I promised to let you know if we were doing anything again you might find interesting. Right now, we're doing a thing we call 1 month of games, which is basically this ridiculous thing we got ourselves into where we will be making 4 games in 1 month and releasing one new game every week. This Monday, the 14th, we released the first one on Android, and now we have 3 more to go. You can read our official news post here. I'm sure that link will be in the notes. And you can see the first game here called Bubble Wobble. These are going to be very small free games, just like the first one. This is something you'd be interested in talking about on the show. I'd love to join you guys once again. It was great fun last time. If you're already booked up or anything, that's cool. Just wanted to present this to you. Take care. Kind regards, Jeff Jensen of Mega Fuzz.
I don't know if you guys play. I played Bubble Wobble, and I'll tell you what, man. Hard to believe that they came out with this game in a week. It is kind of simple, but it's a fun, well-produced, good-looking game. Basically, you got floating things that go by, and there's, I can't remember if they're bears or monsters or something. Yeah, they're monsters. So they're floating by, and they're stuck in bubbles. And you have to pop the bubble when they're over the same color pipe that they are. So like the blue monsters have to drop in the blue pipe, the red monsters have to drop in the red pipe, and you just pop their bubble so they fall into the correct colored pipe. Or if they fall into the wrong pipe, it's negative points. Or if they fall in between the pipes under the spikes, they die, and you go, and your game's over.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff is the guy that did Spoiler Alert, which was the...
Oh, yeah.
The chili wearing the pail on his head, playing the game backwards. First thing you do when you start the game is you unkill the boss, I think. The whole game was literally backwards. This guy has a mind for games, is what I'm going to say. And this is the kind of game, to me, it's one of those simplistic games where if you don't get the game, if you need a tutorial for this game, you might want to go back to, preschool, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah. Are these in the store, or do you have to sideload them? Yeah, they're in the store. Okay, I see it there. I just couldn't find it when I searched for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so new, there's literally one review, and they do not tell you the number of installs. It has... So few.
Maybe after the month's up, we can have Jeff come on talk, tell us all 4 of them.
Well, okay, but listen, people, we have to download this, okay? We have to be the people who are at least trying to get this thing a little bit more popular. He has one freaking review, people, one freaking review. This guy came out of his way to be on the show to talk to us about how he made games. If you remember, it was him and his wife, which made me really jealous of him.
That's right, Dor.
But I still like the guy. we need to get this thing more downloads. I'm going to literally ask people, download this, and if you like it even for 5 seconds, tweet it, Facebook it, Google+ it, tell other people about the game, because he's a really good guy doing really good things.
Yeah, that's Bubble Wobble. Bubble Wobble.
Right. Or just subscribe to the newsletter and you'll get it in your email inbox, which we did change our newsletter provider. We used to use GetResponse. We're now using SendGrid, which is a 50 million times better service, in my opinion, including 12,000 emails a month for free. And then we start to pay, and it's still cheaper than GetResponse. Wow. So I want to publicly thank Martin Rambo Bando. for being the man, I did bring him his name up at the same time we bought a game up with the word bubble in it. Coincidence, pure coincidence. But he's the guy that steered me to SendGrid.
Cool. Lots of great new things going on with the show.
All right, Mr. Geek. Mr. Geek, door-to-door is your first name. Mr. Geek, what's your next app?
Sure, sure. Okay, this is another non-game app. I don't know what happened, but this week I was able to find more than a couple not games. Okay, this one is called Hopper-Airfare Predictions. Okay, you can use Priceline, you can use Wayfair, you can use all these different services. You can even use Google Flights if you want. This is not any of those things. This tries to predict when is going to be the best time to buy an airplane ticket. So this is not for somebody who needs a ticket tomorrow. This is somebody who's looking at having to go to Dallas in February, if you will. Between now and February, hypothetically, let's just say it's 120 days. You will literally see 120 different prices. Every day, it seems like the price will fluctuate and change a little bit. These people captured historical data, and they try to tell you when it looks like you're going to have the best prices to buy. So I'm really a fan of this app. I've been to 4 conferences this year already. Next year, I'm probably going to go to more conferences. So this is the kind of app I need so I know when to buy my tickets.
Yeah, I don't fly hardly ever, so it doesn't do much for me. But if you had like a destination, this could also help you tell you when maybe you might want to try going there on the cheap.
Yeah, this is definitely a case where large databases, you know, with lots of cores thrown at them, can do better than the humans can. Because I don't think anybody knows for sure what the price of an air ticket, airline ticket is, or why. You know, that it's driven by so many things that you really need a computer to figure it out. And this is a great idea. I'm sure they have some sort of deals with the airlines where they get access to their back end. So that may be some of the comments I'm seeing here say there aren't a lot of airlines, and that may be why they don't have access to the back ends for a lot of airlines. But it seems like a really neat idea, and I hope more things like this come into play, not just for, you know, airlines, but hotels and all sorts of things could benefit from that.
Absolutely, because all of these big things, their price sways, differs. It's just like buying gas. If you've ever worked across the street from the gas station, you've noticed the price change 4 times
exactly.
A day.
Yes. While the oil they bought, or the gasoline they bought yesterday, has gone up in price 3 times today. It's the same gas they bought yesterday. I don't get that.
Yeah. It's one of those, okay, there isn't many things in life that I purposefully decide to pick my mental battles against and just to give up on. That is one of them. I just don't devote any brain cycles to it because I think if I understood it, I might end up being committed.
I read a book recently called, I can't remember the exact title, something like How Algorithms Rule the World. And it was talking about things like this, airfare. Most of these things are set by computers. There aren't actually humans doing it. And they cited a couple of cool examples of Amazon, for example. If you've got a book on Amazon, you can tell the book, look at what other people who write books similar to me are charging and charge 5% more or 5% less. And so what will happen is when that same algorithm is fighting for 2 authors about using the same things that each one says go 5% more, that you can have a book that yesterday was $3.99, today is $16,000. Because they're fighting with each other and the algorithm needs to be tweaked. I think the gas prices are the same way. There's a computer somewhere in the world that sends a teletype message over an old 2600 baud modem to your local gas station and says the price needs to be now $6.99. I don't think humans are actually involved anymore. We've just ceded that to computers and they do it and we obey our overlords.
Right. It's what plants crave.
Yeah.
Yes. They just give up all free will.
All right, Mr. Executive, what have you got next?
I've got, can I empty my tank? I've only got 2. I'll make them quick. Is that cool?
You guys since you said nicely, you didn't say please, so I can't say that. Do what you want, man.
All right. My show. I'm going to empty my tank. So, okay, my first one is a game. It's called Trials. Trials Frontier by Ubisoft. this is kind of like your Trials game, but it's kind of Wild West style on toy little mini bikes kind of thing. And you slowly upgrade your mini bike. And it's got a little story that goes with it as you're going through. I played quite a ways through this game. The one thing is that's kind of odd that I didn't, maybe all Trials games are this way, but when you tilt forward and backward, if you tilt forward, it doesn't automatically reset to the middle. You'll stay tilted forward until you hit the back button to tilt backwards. So I'm just giving you that so you guys can get off on the right foot. It's a free game, in-app purchases, and I'm sure it's rated E for everyone, yeah.
Oh, these are fun little games. That looks like a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah, and I've been kind of doing the story mode and going to different places, and I do find myself in the saloon a lot, but I don't know if that has something to do with my personal way I play the game or not.
Yeah, I've played a lot of the motocross side dirt bike games a lot in the past. This is definitely among the better, best-looking ones I've ever seen. I have seen the physics where when the race starts, it resets where center is. So if you are laying down, like with your phone sideways, and when you start the race, it will still work right with tilting. But I've never had it to where you use the gyroscope to tilt, but you got to hit the button to tilt back. That might...
No. Just, you can use use the button. You can use the gyroscope. I don't. I use the left and right to tilt back and forward. There's two buttons on there.
Gotcha.
There's a tilt forward, tilt back button, and then also a gas and brake. I just thought it would reset itself. It doesn't.
And then one of my favorite games along this line was Hill Climb Racer, and it behaved like that. Wherever you put it, that's where it stayed.
Okay. And I always like Motocross Madness from Microsoft. That was one of my favorites. And they actually have a new version on the Xbox that lets you use your own avatar as the rider. But that's a different show. My last app for tonight is called Project M Music Visualizer. And speaking of Windows, like back in Windows 98 or whenever Media Center or Media Player came out, we had visualizations. And I thought this was going to save the world because everybody who ever took drugs never needed to anymore. And the 60s would have totally been different had this technology been available, I think. But basically, this is a really super nice visualizer for your Android tablet or phone or if you're into that thing, you know, or your 40, 50-inch TV if you've got a HDMI cable and a party going on at your house or something.
Yeah, this was the kind of thing back in the day. I think of Winamp.
Yeah,
when I see these. When quite literally in high school, if you were to have a party, you would try to figure out a way to take your computer and hook it up to either a television set or a pro projector and have that just going at the same time as the music because it just looked cool. I mean, you know, cool. Man, and there are this red one with the blue lines. I want to say this is the kind of picture where this screenshot where it's not a moving picture. Yet if you stare at it, it looks like stuff is moving.
But that one on the actual visualization, you're flying super fast into it and it just keeps coming at you. These visualizations take anything Winamp and it's probably 100 times better.
I hope so.
I know. But
I wonder what this would look like playing a podcast at 2.2x.
I was doing it the other day. I was just watching the visualizations with no music. Don't judge.
Pop a shroom and go on a trip.
Fantastic voyage.
That was my tank. Thank you for letting me spill my tank out on you guys.
Well, you just made it sound weird. All right.
That's Eric.
Let's do one more bit of email. This is from Christian. He says, Door Eric and not the new not Steve C guy. My app suggestion for the show is a conversion program called ConvertPad. I have the paid version and I'm very happy with it. Reading comments on the free version, there may be some ad issues such as hijacking your browser to display ads or some such. The paid app has no such problems. I find it handy and it even does currency exchange besides the usual technical stuff like how many horsepower is 1180 watts, etc. It's not something I use every day, but when I need it, I need it. And now, as for the show itself, I feel the need to point out a few things now that Steve C has departed. Number one, no sooner than when Mark showed up, the show format changed again. Number two, Mark is an admitted fan of Star Wars, and he acknowledges the unimaginable episodes sometimes. Number three, Mark admits to being an unwilling destroyer of consumer electronics. Number four, Mark may have destroyed the AAA email system shortly after joining the show whilst complaining he was running out of feedback. Number five, his office chair looks like a Death Star. Yes, Mark, I do listen to Everyday Linux. And number six, Mark is a big guy with a big voice and a big heart and a great sense of humor. Considering all of this, I humbly suggest that Mark shall, in the future, on the AAA show, be referred to as Mark Death Star Cockrell. Regards, Christian, a.k.a. Captain Dang It. I can't count on Mark to murder my signature like Steve C. did, but at least he'll correct my grammar zero.
Ooh, wow. Oh. Nailed it.
I think he had some caffeine today.
Good job, Mark.
I have no comment on any of that. I don't even know where to go with that.
Okay. The only... And Steve C. used to hate when I said this line. Oh, man. The only constant in the universe, Christian, is change. The format will constantly change and evolve. Sometimes slow, sometimes fast. It just so happens that when Mark came on, it changed. The email, I don't know what happened to the email, but literally no one was able to send email to aaa@podnuts.com while the other Podnuts email addresses worked just fine for like 3 or 4 days. I don't know. I call that fate. I don't know. Any name... Mark's the kind of guy, any name he wants to be called, we're going to call him. Any name he doesn't want to be called, I don't think we're going to call him.
I prefer Master and Commander.
Master and Commander.
Master and Commander.
Yeah. It was a relatively uninspiring Russell Crowe film.
You said it. I will say this app, I think I got for free, I don't even know when, a while ago. This is a good app, I will say that, but it is the kind of app where if you don't need it, you're never going to use it. If you don't like it, you're never going to use it. But if you're in a job or in a activity where you need to convert anything, whether it be dollars, fluid ounces, feet, yard, whatever, there's the kind of app that can just take something off your plate as a task and just make it really simple.
One of the comments is, great, except when it isn't. Nice.
Yeah, accuracy would be good to... Yeah, it doesn't say it's inaccurate, though.
I just use OK Google for this. Oops, I just triggered a whole bunch of phones out there. But when I need to know how many hectares is in a section, I just say, OK Google, how many hectares is in a section?
True.
I just turn to my wife and ask her, because she knows everything.
Just ask her? Mm-hmm. All right, I think that has run its course. So, Dor, I'll give you one more time to wow us all with an app.
Oh, okay, don't set the bar high or anything, Mark. Okay, what I'm going to bring you, unfortunately, but fortunately, and both I said yes, this is a cardboard game. Okay, there was a game called, just a bunch of A's. Well, they took that basic same principle, and now it's called Cardboard! C-A-A-A-A-A-R-B. The B-O-A-R-D, exclamation point. Google Cardboard, literally, if you look on Amazon, you can get it for less than $20. You can get a good one. I mean, a really well-built one for around $20. If you can't find it, shoot us an email, aaa@podnuts.com. I'm happy to shoot your link. There's a smaller and a bigger version, depending on your phone. I put this on my Moto X and gave it to my children, and they would not stop cackling and giggling and screaming and laughing and hooting and hollering until the phone went dead.
Oh, I need to get back in the cardboard again.
Yeah, so this to me is one of those great, and the almost the most funny part is not playing it, but it's watching somebody else play
it. Yeah, that is fun. I like having people over and just passing it around, especially people who've never done it before. It's very impressive technology.
I've never strapped a phone to my face.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing yet.
Well, I think he does, because it's just strapping a phone to your face.
Wow. I mean, this is old. Yeah. This is updated December 1st, 2014.
I didn't say it was new, but for some reason it completely missed our radar. Yeah. So I saw it and just had to bring
it.
Cool. So tell me about the cardboard experience, Dor. Is it, I mean, OnePlus decided it was important enough to do their whole release of the OnePlus 2 on that. Is it? Do you think it's the way things are going to be in the future, or is it?
Absolutely
a, is
not.
It gonna? We're gonna look back on this and look at it like CB radios.
Not CB radios. I'll say this. It's hard to corner what it actually is going to be, but I do think it is going to serve a purpose. It's just a small purpose.
Yeah, if an Android phone is a CB radio, this is sideband.
Okay.
Nobody got that.
Nope. I'll say this. This is kind of, it really is, it's one of, it's more than just a novelty, but it depends on the app. If someone finally makes a good game that actually uses a Bluetooth controller, where one of the buttons is forwards or backwards movement, so you don't have to walk around because you walk off of into walls and, you know, step
it's the Wii problem. Kind of I broke my shoulder playing a video game.
Right. And it could be really, really cool, but it's going to take people to build epic apps on them. The hardware is almost pointless, and that's what Google proved. The hardware is pointless. It's a $20, when it first started, I think I was going to say a $5 piece of cardboard. So it's just different, that's all it is. Google Glass is much more of a failure by leaps and bounds versus the cardboard VR experience. We have Samsung with their own thing. We got Microsoft with their own thing. We have Sony doing their own thing. It's going to be something. It's just a card to tell how much, dare I say, penetration it's going to have.
I think this issue, like so many others, is the interface issue. It's not that the technology isn't there yet. It's not that there aren't applications for it. It's that the human interface, the wetware, is always the problem. So, you know, people have tried the whole 3D thing, and you always got to stick something on your face. Even, you know, I hate going to 3D movies for a number of reasons, but one of them is I don't want to. I went and paid some guy $6,000 so I didn't have to wear glasses anymore. I had frickin' lasers, man, cutting on my eyes. And then I go to a theater and I'm paying once again for the privilege of wearing glasses. I hear people talk about VR contact lenses, but that's only people who've never had to wear contact lenses. Nobody wants to do that as a leisure experience. It's not an entertainment thing to stick a piece of plastic in your eye. But, you know, we got to figure out some way to augment the world around us. Projector technology, things like that, or some sort of neural interface. You know, there's got to be a better way to make the world different than it is. And right now we're monkeys banging on rocks with sticks. We're so far away from where we need to be. I just can't get excited about any of it.
But just to try it, it's very immersive for a piece of cardboard. It's very impressive if you were to just to try it.
I'm not complaining about it. I'm not saying that it's not cool, but it's not in any way practical or useful or has any, you know, anything more than a 10-minute novelty.
The only type of things I would say how it can have use in the real world is literally if you want to know what it's like. Hypothetically, I live in Uzbekistan. I'm a sheep farmer. I can go to the local whatever shop, put on a cheap VR headset, and literally, quote unquote, walk around Disneyland or Disney World. I can see what that is like. I can see the scale and the scope of things that I can never go to. Mm-hmm. I think there's a purpose for it. Unfortunately, games and erotic material seem to be the headlining catching use cases for these things instead of useful and functional and educational type purposes. Time will tell really where this is going to fall. Time will tell where this is going to be beneficial. It's one of those things. I don't think it's going away though, Mark. I don't think it's going away at all. I think it will be around and it will be around. Like there, I say ham radio ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. We just got to find a way to do it well. And I think things like, Microsoft's, Holo. Is that it? I'm blanking on the name of it. Yeah. Where you use a projector to enhance the world around you, or, you know, a lot of cars right now have heads-up displays in the windshields. I think that's where we're going to go, you know, with, LCDs thin enough to paint on your walls, where you literally change the environment around you rather than change the way you perceive the environment. I think we will succeed at that before we succeed at VR.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Wow, I'm not accustomed to people saying that to me. That caught me off guard.
I'm sorry, I will stop doing that.
You're wrong. There's okay. No way. Whew, cardboard's a future. Better. Just stop denying.
Okay. I think we're done with apps for now. So now's the time to do our parting thoughts. I want to make one more plug for the Zcast app. You can find that over at elementopi.com on any of the recent show notes. We've had a few people responding and, you know, pointing out bugs. That's what I want you to do. But also we need to use it. We really need to, test the database back end and two or three comments that say test isn't testing anything. I mean, that's testing functionality. We need people to actually use it. So please, go down, load the Zcast app, load up the, Android app, addicts, feed and make me read your email from there next week. Instead of from the email.
That would be awesome. That's all I got to say.
And yes, I got an email from Kaiser last week. He is right now solely working on variable speed playback. That's his one objective at this point.
Well, I tell you what, when he gets variable speed playback, I'm tempted to say, we're not going to read any emails ever again. We're only going to read comments from the app.
Wow. That's stern.
Because literally, we get plenty of emails, okay? Plenty of emails. That's not a problem. But it'd be so much better if everybody can, quote-unquote, send emails that everyone else can
exactly
see. You know?
So that's what I say there. Eric, what do you want to plug tonight, either personally or professionally?
Rico Benny's.
Yeah, there you go, Rico Benny's. I ate half of a sandwich tonight. I'm not hungry yet. It was in the USA Today, the best sandwich in the country, and I got to try one today after Dora's gleaming recommendation.
Oh yeah, it will take 3 months off your life,
and that's a ringing endorsement.
I got the sweet peppers, not the hot peppers.
Same here.
Yeah, I got nothing to plug.
All right. Well, I will plug the Patreon for this show, Android App Addicts. Dora, what's the URL for that? Patreon/AAA?
Android App Addicts.
Okay. Go there, pledge a buck, pledge 50 cents, pledge a nickel. The money is important and useful, but more the show of support is what is super cool. To say, you know, 6,000 people pledged a penny. We now know that 6,000 people are involved and active and willing to support the community. So please do that. Patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts and do that, pledge, and become parts of the community there. Dor, what do you got?
And just the only thing I want to say is, of course, thanks to everyone for all the support, period. If you want to see more content, because listen, how many apps have I been bringing a week here recently? Like 4 apps. I obviously have like 200 now sitting in the back burner, just waiting to be
That's seen. My fault also, by the way. Them, according to the email, that's my fault too.
Absolutely not. If you want to see those apps, you have to let us know, period. But number two, I will say the new website, it's done development. I now have it on my internal network. I did a practice migration of it, so I see what it's like. I see how to do it kind of thing. We are going to set a hard date before next week of when the new website will be going live. So we will be giving people notice of at least 2 weeks to keep a watchful eye on your podcast feed, because it's probably going to reset and think every episode is new. So I will tell you the day and the approximate time, Eastern Coast time, when that's going to happen.
All right. Cool. Can't wait.
And my website is elementopi.com. I do another podcast there. I do other stuff here and there on the web. You can find me on Facebook and Google+, but it won't do you much good because all you'll see is a picture of me grinning at you. But check out elementopi.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being the reason that we do this show. Dor, just you are a man who deserves many thanks and will accept none. So I'm going to do it anyway. On behalf of your community, thank you for your tireless efforts. Eric, as always, you're a consummate professional. You are the executive. And I'm happy to have been with you. And I'm going to say that's it for this week. We'll see you next week on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.